Hey y'all, this is KNS, and we're back for episode 2. This week, we are sipping on a blueberry banana smoothie, and we're serving up the Black Woman Experience. Let's go. So, it is taboo in America to say Black people cannot be on time.
I mean, it's not, well, you know, these things do come from stereotypes, and stereotypes yes. come from some kind of truth. And it's true. Black people are never on time. No.
Well, we're on time. We're on Black people's time.
Where did that come from? See, mm-hmm. we have our own time zone. So that's how you know we can't be on time for nothing.
I'm never on time. So I guess for me, the stereotype is correct because I'm literally never on time. Even if I take an hour to get ready beforehand, I get up an extra hour before I actually have to get ready, I'm still late.
Do you feel pressure to be on time because you're Black, especially when it's an event, maybe not necessarily for people of color? Like, if you know you're going to be the only Black person there, do you feel more pressure to be on time or early compared to everybody else?
Absolutely. Because, you know, the looks you get when you walk in.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, her Black ass was going to be late.
You knew she was going to be late because, I mean, come on, shit, look at her. So, absolutely.
It gives me so much anxiety. I mean, seriously, like, I mean, sweating, like, just, like, I'm a wreck. I hate being late. Yeah. I hate being late. And still, I am always the late friend. It's a
even, like, at school functions or something like that, I'm always late. And I hate to be late because, I mean, look where we live at.
But that's like, I mean, that's just a small part of it, though. So,
where does being late come from? Like, where does the stereotype come from that Black people are always late? And, you know, some people say it's the slave mentality of, you know, Black people can't be on time because they have to move when the masters say.
Yeah. But let's I mean, move. Now we are the masters, so.
Yeah. But still, even though we are the master of our own universe or whatever, we're still late.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's some people that do be on time and are on time before they actually have to be there. But is that because they don't want to be labeled as the Black late person?
I feel like you really do have anxiety from stuff like that, though. But it's like, especially when you put in social situations where you're the token Black person. Yeah. It's like, okay, so if you have a whole table of fruit, you're going to pick the watermelon and be the Black person. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like sometimes you do try to like veer away from it because especially how sensitive the climate is now, you don't want it to be a situation where it goes from lighthearted joking to blatant racism. Do you think that you ever like experienced just flat out blatant racism before?
In all of my years, I have never experienced racism.
Really?
I've never experienced racism at all. Not that I can remember or that it was in my forefront.
But I do feel like if you experienced it, it's you would definitely, that she, yeah, that I would definitely forget.
Remember. Because, I mean, it's most people that they can pinpoint the day, the time, right, the event, where they were. Because
you never think it's going to happen to you. Like, I was in college before, and me and my boyfriend parked our car, like, just on the street or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this lady comes out, and she's like, well, my friend is leaving for the parking spot. I'm like, okay, well, my boyfriend's inside with the keys. He's going to be right out. Well, I'll tell you, she went into a whole rant of, like, your mom's probably a crackhead. And,
oh, my shit.
Like, legit, like, every bad cliche of a Black person that you can think of, she was saying. And I'm just like, this is right here in my own backyard just happening. I'm just, like, in shock at that point. I'm just like, I have to go because I don't even know what to do. I think I was more in shock than anything to, like, even say anything or react. It just was more like a deer in headlights. Like, I cannot believe that this is even
happening
to me right now. Yeah. Yes. And then trying to, like, explain now in this climate to my children, like, what racism is, like, explaining to my daughter, like, activism and stuff. She thinks it's a story. Like, she'll really be like, tell me the story again about the white people and the Black people. Like, baby, it's not a story. Like, this is real, real life. Yeah. So I'm telling her, like, everyone is not prejudiced. Everyone is not judgmental, but there are going to be people who do not like you just because of the color of your skin. And she's just like, are you sure? Mm-hmm. Is this real?
Yeah, my kids
did
like
this
that.
Really happen? It's just like you don't want to take that innocence away from them, but at the same time, you don't want them to be sheltered from what unfortunately is our reality.
Yeah. But I always tell my kids, I'm not too open about everything that's going on in the world with them because I want to keep them protected and their innocence protected. But I try to let them know the importance of their skin color and how rich it is and how important their skin color is so that they can know this person may hate me because of my skin color because it's so rich.
Yeah.
So I try to empower them just in case they come across it. And we do have conversations with our oldest kids to where we ask them, like, have you ever heard somebody say the word, you know, the N-word? Or if somebody ever said something negative about your skin color or something like that. And having a daughter, you know, it comes sometimes that, well, she has curly hair, which is beautiful. And she'll say, you know, mommy, I want straight hair.
Yeah.
And that's when we have to incorporate, you know, you don't know how beautiful your hair is.
But I do feel like colorism is also a real thing. I also feel like as a black woman, you're being judged by other races, but you're also being judged by your own community. Race, yes. It's like when I grew up in an urban area and when I was there, because I was so skinny my whole life and I talk like this a lot. And the Valley girl's like, oh, you're white. You're too white to go here. Yeah. And then when I went to the suburbs for high school, and they're like, oh, you came from the, you ghetto, you from the hood, you still live to be here. It's like, okay, I'm too suburban for the urban area, and I'm too ghetto for the suburbs. So where exactly is it that I'm supposed to fit in? Yeah. And it's hard, like, trying to be accepted by both, if not at least one. Like, you want to feel like in your culture, you're welcome with open arms, and that has not always been the situation for me personally.
Well, me, as I grew up, I kept a lot of my whatever I like that was considered white.
Right.
Or whitish. I kept that kind of private because I didn't want to be looked at as different or not for the culture or not down for the people. But a lot of my white music that I like or white artists, I kept that shelter in to myself because I didn't want to be judged for it.
Right.
But now, I mean, I don't really.
But I feel like now even those skills came in handy because to this day I have to code switch. I have a 9-to-5 job where I work with mostly non-black people. Yeah. So, you know, it's rough. I mean, you do have that moment where you picking up your personal phone and say, hey, what's up? And it's not necessarily rough or street or ghetto. It's just not professional. So then you do have to turn on that. Hey, how are you, voice? And it sucks. Like, it sucks that
you have to do that, though.
Yes, even understand that code switching is a real
thing. I do it.
Or even, like, going into a store, like, say it's a jewelry store. I'm actually looking at, like, today I have on a t-shirt and leggings compared to, oh, another day where I'm going out and I have on a dress. Like, as soon as, people tell you, as soon as I go into a store and I feel like I'm not getting service, is number one, I look very young for my age. And then number two, you know, you a young black woman. It's just like, oh, you can't afford anything in here. Like, why are you here? So they don't want to give you any service. You don't want to service me? You don't get my money. That's it. Like, that's just flat out how it is. But it sucks that you even have to
think like that.
There's so many, like, preparations that go into stuff just based off of, okay, today I'm going to the kids' school. And I do feel extra pressure because I am one of the younger parents in my daughter's class. And I am one of the only black people in my daughter's class that I feel a little extra pressure to be prepared mentally, like being able to, you know, have the words coming out the way that they should, but then also having the physicality together. Is my hair done? Do I have anything in my teeth? Am I dressed appropriately? And I do feel like if I did not look the way that I looked, it would not be as big of an issue.
You have to always be prepared when you're doing stuff like that with the schooling. You always have to have on, make sure your clothes are appropriate, your hair is not done. Like, it's been majority of times when I didn't even go to my kids' school if I had, like, my hair, my curly afro or something like that. I just would not go. I would send their dad because his hair is already low cut and I don't have to do anything extra. Like, I can't, sometimes, like, if I go through the drive-thru line to pick him up, I have to worry about, okay, if I have on, like, a jacket or a robe and I'm just going through the drive-thru line. I can't even do that because
put my bonnet on. Even though I'm not prepared right now.
That's right. Like, you have to always be on standby. But I mean, I guess that's the world that we live in.
I think that,
and I also think it goes back to the slave mentality. Like, we always have to be prepared for what, again, what master is gonna say. Yeah. And that shit sucks.
That's sad. That's actually sad in the big picture. But I feel like that's what I feel like strong black women is derived from there. But mm-hmm. I feel like the phrase has two, like a split where it's like, yes, you're strong and you go through this. But for some reason, when it comes to like, oh, are you a strong black woman? It comes off as you're angry, mm-hmm. you're aggressive, you're and it's dominant. Just like, right. Mm-hmm. And it's not always that. I do find yeah. myself angry at the fact that you think I have to be strong all the mm-hmm. time. Because yeah. even my husband can do it to me where it's like, I'm in a moment where I'm being susceptible or I'm being vulnerable. And with mm-hmm. your partner, you should be that way. And the advice turns into like, oh, you're strong. You can handle this. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, but I don't want to be strong mm-hmm. all the time. Like, yeah. I cannot do it all the time. There has to be some kind of cutoff. So why is it that black women aren't allowed to have
vulnerability?
Yes, that moment of weakness. Why are we not allowed that same
But then piece? Again, that goes back to the backbone. You know how they say black women are the backbone of the community. So I think that goes back to, again, slavery.
So how do we break away from those stigmas?
How do we break away from that black generational curse that's been put on us from our ancestors?
Yeah.
It's hard because your parents didn't know how to teach you any different.
Right.
So you have to be that one that breaks that and be like, hey, I'm not going to be all strong today. I'm not going to be, you know, cracking the whip and doing what I got to do today.
Right.
It's times that we have to be able to just to take a break from the mental stress of being a black woman.
But then, like, speaking of mental stress, in the black community, especially being a black woman, why do we neglect our mental health so much? Like, why is it so taboo to want to go to a therapist or a psychiatrist?
I think because black women don't want to be looked at as weak. It's weak for women to show their vulnerability to someone and to seek help on the things that, you know, they're not supposed to talk about. Because, you know, in the black community, we have this thing like, hush, hush, don't talk about this, don't do this.
Right.
Or if it happens in the house, it stays in the house. So you got to deal with that trauma forever. And we don't know how to seek out because that's been instilled into our brains since childhood.
Yeah, we're so trained to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you said, it's all a matter of being able to be strong enough to break those chains and break mm-hmm. the cycles.
Break free from it.
Yeah, because mental health is very important, especially in the black community. And it sucks that when someone's saying like, oh, I'm depressed or, you know, I'm suicidal, it's not looked at as serious in the black yep. community That's as right. it is mm-hmm. elsewhere. It's just like, oh, you'll get over it. You'll just be having a bad time. You're just
or they'll say, go pray
patch.
About it.
Right.
Go pray about it. And, you know, you'll be okay. Oh, go sleep it off. And you can't sleep off depression. You can't sleep off suicidal thoughts. Because if you go to sleep, you wake up, it's still going to be right there.
Right.
So anybody who is out there and having any thoughts of wanting to harm themselves or they feel like they can't talk to anybody, they definitely should seek professional help.
And don't be embarrassed about it.
There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Nothing. Your mental health is what's going to keep you going when nothing else will. Because if your brain is functioning the way it should be and you're not having depressing thoughts, you're going to be able to move those mountains. You're going to be able to go over those mountains. Anything that's trying to stop you, you push forward and just seek that help.
But I think help also comes in the form of having a good support system. And as a black woman, I don't feel like we support each other enough.
We are
so critical of one another mm-hmm. rather than being like, it's not constructive criticism of, hey, you know what you should try? It's more like, damn, that sucks. So
you should try this.
What you're doing.
This is
right.
what I did.
It's so aggressive. Mm-hmm. There is no sisterhood whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And why do you think that is, like, specifically in terms of being a black woman? Why is it we are competing with each other rather than trying to help each other?
I have no idea where that came from. It could be some family trauma to where, you know, some kids got treated better than the other kids. You know, so it could be, okay, well, now it's, I got to compete or I got to have what they have. So I can't say, hey, let's do this together or let's try to be cordial and going forward. Oh, well, let me uplift her. You know, we don't have that that mentality to do that. I'm not sure why. I don't know where it came from. But you know, everybody, some women hate, some women don't. I don't understand why and what's the need of what's the hate for. I mean, because just because, you know, somebody has something and you don't, that means it wasn't meant for you.
Right. But what I can say, though, if y'all listening to this, y'all come and join our little tribe. We going to come over here, drink us some smoothies, get our little chat on. We all for the support. Mm-hmm. We all for women getting together and having their own little time. Not in that kind of way. Y'all know what I mean. Come join our tribe. Come let us support you. All that good stuff. I think we're wrapping this one up, though, y'all. So
yeah, this is it for episode 2. We hope that you guys liked it. Make sure you like our Facebook page, share our podcast. You never know who will need this to uplift them. We out.
See y'all next week.